Now, who are the Nicolaitans and what are their works? The Nicolaitans, my friends, whom we will deal with in subsequent verses as well, God willing, were Gnosticizing heretics, and we don't have much information about them, but we will mention what we know. They were Gnosticizing heretics and fruits of the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics. In English, the G does not get pronounced, so we pronounce it Gnostics or Gnosticism. And it comes from the Greek word knowledge or gnosis. So the Gnostics, who became prevalent during the 3rd century before Christ, and they bother the church openly until the 3rd century A.D., they did not die. They still exist, and they will exist until the end of history. Gnosticism attempts to create a melting pot of all the ideologies of all times, the mixing of a little philosophy, a little Christianity, a little Buddhism, a little bit of this, a little of that, idolatry, a smorgasbord of all religions, while maintaining the name of Christianity, but a Christianity of maximum distortion. They were classified heretics because they were attempting to give themselves a Christian garb, a Christian color, while their abuse and distortion of the gospel was horrendous. This horrendous distortion of the gospel takes place in our days as well. Freemasonry is a revival of Gnosticism, and as I have told you very many times, the church recognized in Gnosticism, with its many forms, its biggest enemy, its greatest enemy. The church fought its hardest battles against the Gnostics, much more so than the other heretics. Gnostics are very dangerous because they present many lures used to enchant the faithful and to drag them in the abyss of perdition. It is not a simple heresy with a simple denial of this or that doctrine. It is something else which escapes easy recognition. They tell you that they are Christians, and they have no trouble accepting everything you throw at them. They agree with everything in theory, and in practice, they spurn just about everything. So the Nicolaitans were Gnosticizing heretics, and they were considered to be antinomians. Please pay attention to this, because these are not things that existed back when, but these phenomena repeat themselves in history. As Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. Let's not forget this. We have the same phenomena with new names and new forms, but the substance always remains the same. As antinomians, these people had a very lax attitude towards idolatry and carnal sins. They were quite open and receptive to elements of idolatry with much ease, and they had great difficulty accepting the commandments of God in the area of ethics, spiritual life, and more specifically in the area of bodily sins. They were tremendously loose in this area, saying that the things that the law of God teaches are quite unrealistic and inapplicable, specifically the subject of abstinence or sexual control. For example, the young men and the young women are called by the law of God to stay pure or abstinent until the day of their marriage, and within the marriage to practice monogamy. Once you are married, you cannot run around with this or that person. Adultery is forbidden, and it's a great sin. The Nicolaitans said, we cannot accomplish this. It is very difficult. Therefore, we need to use a different strategy. They thought to themselves, now what's the purpose of keeping God's commandment? The purpose is to destroy the flesh and to save the spirit. And this is a great falsehood. The purpose of God's commandment is not to destroy the body. When the church tells you to fast, to abstain, or to hold all-night vigils, the purpose is not to destroy the flesh. These are not aimed towards the death of the body, but they aim towards the death of the passions. I don't fast to destroy my flesh or something evil. This is Gnosticism, dualism, a Gnosticizing heresy. So they misinterpret it in this manner. Since I need to destroy the flesh and I cannot accomplish it by abstinence, they thought that the body would be destroyed by abstinence. This is what they believed. So they felt that it was their duty to destroy the body. Plato used to say the same thing. He was a dualist. Actually, all the philosophical systems to this day are grounded in dualism. They accept two forces, one of good and one of evil, and these forces are in constant battle with each other, forever battling with each other. So for me to destroy the flesh, something that I cannot do with the abstinence, then I will use the opposite approach, not the one of nomia, with the law, but antinomia, against the law. And I'm called an antinomian. As an antinomian, I will indulge, I will keep eating and drinking and stop a little before my stomach explodes. I will fornicate until I drop, and this is how I will destroy my flesh. Their motto was, the flesh must be abused. This is what they were saying, para Christe disarchi di. The misuse and abuse of the flesh is a must. And by using this method, I will find my happiness and my spirit will become free. Now you may tell me, these things sound preposterous, unbelievable. My friends, let's look around. These things are happening in our days. What was the Woodstock era, the hippie movement? What are the young people today accomplishing with drug use, or abuse rather? Are we trying this? This is the best source of my verse. And will has Russia uses hold their patient attention to a distinct and not the same importantly than the virus. Not differentiate them and the patient are two organisms. So he diagnosed that with him as one, he will not kill the microorganism, but even the worst trained to make or the microorganism do not. And we criticize with Christ is most wide knowledge to the full epignosis of the truth. I react. There's a difference here between what he gave him. First, the now believe of liberation was the complete misunderstanding of the meaning of freedom goes. There was never a time that had such a sick sense of freedom as our times. I would like to add something to this point. St. Paul, in his time, and I'm returning to the subject of the Nicolaitans, please forgive this insertion, but I overlooked this point, and I believe I must give you this information. St. Peter provides his entire second epistle, and Jude, the brother of God, comes forth with his entire epistle to counter the subject of Nicolaitans. When you were reading the second epistle of Peter, did you ever suspect that he had the Nicolaitans in mind? Of course, he does not refer to them by that name, but he does refer to their lifestyle, and I will give you a few verses on this. St. Paul, in its Corinthians epistles, writes, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. And here he's referring to the Nicolaitans who were saying everything is permissible, period. This reminds me of a young man while shopping at a store. I forget now how the conversation went, but I told him something along these lines, and he asked, why? He acted like you were taking his rights away from him. You were destroying the idol of his freedom. And he said, why? I'm free to do whatever I please. And I responded, the truth is that you are free to do whatever you want, but it's not to your friend. This benefit used because some destructive habit, a terribly destructive habit needs to be addressed. What is freedom? For me to have rights and more rights, does this help me? What is freedom? What is freedom? This hot topic of freedom and independence. Our adolescents today, they want freedom. And we're seeing a lot of every freedom. So pale is permitted. All the not lay box of angles and here too boastful entice those with injury. This very freedom, do whatever you want of corruption. They are in the subject. means we need to ascend to the mother-seeker and movement in areas. We will begin some of sales. This shows watch standards. Let them explains our guests. If one of us, people, we are in to hate the words. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the churches. Why to the churches and not to the church of Ephesus, since this happens to be a personal epistle to that church? Even though it is a personal epistle and it is addressing the historical geographical church of Ephesus, it is also addressing the entire church. In other words, all the local churches, and asks their attention. He wants them to know what the Spirit says. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which opens the spiritual ears. And so God can grant us these spiritual ears, enable us to spurs of our time. This is the spirit of discretion, which happens to be one of the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to stand in our turbulent times. This is a great need to stay standing in a time unprecedented in its corruption. Friends, we will continue.
Thank you.